T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm sorry. We're Ray and I are arguing about the movie Bridesmaids, which I like, I guess, a whole lot more than you. I just to people who are joining now, last night I stayed home, and between watching Flyers and Sixers, I was watching a lot of the movie The Hangover, which is great.
It is. And it's great in multiple viewings, too. That's one of those movies you can watch over and over again.
Absolutely. And I hadn't seen it in several years, so it was funny again. And a year or two after that, they made the female counterpart of that movie, Bridesmaids, with Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy and Maya Rudolph, and I think it's great. And you said you found the other female really annoying, and that's the point. She was supposed to be annoying.
Yeah, she was.
The snooty one.
She was too annoying.
Well, you need. Okay. She was the villain. All right, well, Ray, what can I tell you?
But no, I liked it. You know I did what? But I didn't like it on the same scale that I liked Hangover. All I thought that was a classic.
I'm going to Zach Berman on this. Zach Berman of The Athletic. Zach, have you watched the movie Bridesmaids?
I have. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It made me laugh.
All right. You watched the movie The Hangover?
Yes. I'd like The Hangover, I'd say, more than Bridesmaids.
Okay, but
you're with me,
no,
Zach.
No, because I do too, but I'm saying it's close. It's like just a notch, and
no.
You say, Ray, not even in the same league.
I don't think it's close. Zach, I like them both, but I like The Hangover much, much better.
Zach, would you settle this? Are they close?
relatively, although I would probably lean more toward The Hangover. I can relate more toward a bachelor party than the bachelorette party.
So. Well, okay. That's a cop-out, but there you go. Nonetheless,
don't
Zach,
be running your chick flicks past
Zach,
us.
Well, yes, right, because that's what I'm known for.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, Zach Berman and Bo Wolf wrote a terrific column this last week about 10 predictions for the Eagles for the rest of the year. I would like to read the prediction. Then, Ray, I want you to opine, and then Zach will either talk with his delight that you agreed with him, or he will defend his lame position. Are you ready?
Yes.
I don't think any of these are particularly controversial, but they are interesting. The first one is Jalen Hurts will pass for fewer yards in the next 9 games than he did in the past 8 games.
I think that's true because I think they are going to run the ball more. And to me, it makes perfect sense. So I agree with that.
Zach, why is that going to happen?
Well, I don't think Hurts is going to keep up the volume that he had earlier this year. If he's down to, let's say, 25 pass attempts a game, he would need to have an average yards per attempt that would put him in the top 10 in the NFL. And I frankly don't think he's that efficient of a quarterback. So the only way I see him topping that mark, even with one extra game, is if they're passing 35 times a game, and I don't think they're going to play that way.
No, and I also think that the schedule lends itself that way because you look at the teams that they've played to this point. You've played some high-scoring offenses. I mean, you've played some teams where the Eagles coaches going in figured, geez, if we're playing Tampa Bay, if we're playing Kansas City, you know, we're going to have to score points to beat these teams. So your offense was probably geared more towards passing it. From this point on, the second half of the season, you're playing the opposition you're playing. You're not looking at teams that are going to score a ton of points, so you can have a more balanced offense. That's kind of my thinking, too.
Can I just throw in one other thing about Hurts that I find a little bit disturbing? And I'm thinking if I see it with my eyes, any single NFL scout or coach is going to see it. Does it appear he only likes to throw to the right side of the field?
Yeah, his numbers suggest that. Like his, you know, the charts that you look at shows that with that. He says that's, you know, where he rolls out, and Sirianni will say some of that's within the framework of a play. But that. that's not a very good model, and I don't think it's sustainable for the Eagles. So that's something he's going to need to see the field more than he has in these first eight games.
Yeah, I mean, if the other team knows that they can cut off half the field when the quarterback's out there, it's to their advantage. All right, here you go. Zach Berman, prediction number two. Dallas Goedert finishes in the top three in the NFC in receptions and receiving yards among tight ends. Ray? By the way, currently ranks number seven in catches and fourth in yards.
I think that's doable. Yeah, I do. I really do, because I think if he can stay healthy now and not get injured, his role in this offense certainly is going to expand. And I think his talent level is such. I think he's a really talented guy, and I think he's been to this point been underutilized. And I think that's going to change the second half of the year. So top three is high, but I think that's doable. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so when I look at it, that if you just look at the tight ends in the NFC, I don't think he'll catch up to Kyle Pitts or T.J. Hockenson. But I think he can beat Al Dalton Schultz from the Cowboys. And then it's just a matter of you have Zach Ertz, obviously, with the Cardinals. George Kittle is an outstanding tight end with the Niners, but he's missed a lot of time this year.
I think he's coming back today, but he is playing on a pitch count, so to speak.
Yep. But from what when I look at the Eagles offense, they want to go in their passing game featuring number six and number 88. And for much of the season, when either Zach Ertz was in the lineup or Goddard was out for a game because of COVID, he hasn't had the opportunities that he'll have in this back stretch. So if he's healthy, I expect him to be featured more than he has at any point in his career.
Interesting. His time has arrived.
I think that's true. I think he's a really good player, and they need to use him more.
I think to date, if you look at his career, he's been fine but not special.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying it today starts now.
I do. I think he's really good. And he's a much better blocker than people realize. He's a very complete player. And a good yards after the catch guy. I think he's a guy that's is going to just continue to grow in stature here. I really do.
All right, Zach Berman, prediction number three. I'm sorry, Zach Berman. Yeah, Zach Berman. Prediction number three. I thought we were talking to Bo Wolf for a second. Zach, excuse
me. No problem.
All right, Milton Williams will end up with more sacks than Fletcher Cox. I don't know if that's praise or not.
That was Bo's prediction there.
Oh, that was Bo's? Oh.
That was Bo's prediction, but I'll talk about that one.
Yeah, we're going to make you defend it anyway, Ray?
Well, considering Fletcher's not getting many sacks these days, I guess that's a possibility. And Williams is certainly getting the snaps. I would probably lean still towards Fletch, because with the second half of the year here and some what I think are pretty beatable opponents on the way, I would probably, if I had to choose between the two, I would probably take Cox.
Yeah, I would probably lean toward Cox, although he's played, 67% of the defensive snaps so far this season and hasn't been nearly productive enough. And I don't think you can say it's a matter of double teams, because when you've watched these past three games or so, Javon Hargrave is the one who's commanding more of the double teams now.
Correct.
And Milton Williams is he's coming on. And the reality, too, is the Eagles really like his inside-outside versatility. And with the way Ryan Kerrigan's playing, the Eagles don't really have a number three defensive end. So I think they'll look to find Milton Williams playing time on the inside and the outside.
Yeah, that's funny, because I know that the coaches talked a lot about Williams when they drafted him. They talked a lot about Williams during the preseason, the summer, and really seemed to have high hopes for him. And I got to tell you, Zach, first part of the season, I was underwhelmed. He was on the field a lot. He was playing a lot of snaps. And I'm thinking, really? This is what I've been hearing all about? Now, last week was the first time I really kind of said, okay, I kind of get it now. But frankly, up till then, I was a little bit disappointed.
I think he has a little Michael Bennett in him. Now, I'd say different size profiles, but in terms of playing style, I think that would be an interesting comp for him. Now, I think Milton's going to be more of an inside guy in his career. Obviously, Bennett played on the outside, but having that type of flexibility, being a power rusher, I think that's something you could see.
By the way, all of this argument also traces back to Fletcher Cox, and we've talked about him a lot this year. But he does it looks like he's almost 31, right?
Yes.
looks like he's really close to done to me. I'm just not seeing any production out of him. All right, the next prediction is, in fact, also a Bo Wolf one, but you wrote the story with him, so you're going to have to defend it, although I don't think it's going to require much of a defense. Gardner Minshew does not start a game unless Jalen Hurts gets injured. Ray, I have been in favor of this position, and you?
Yeah, I don't the last thing you want to do is start Gardner Minshew in a game. I mean, this season has to be about one thing, and that's finding out whether Jalen Hurts is your guy moving forward. At the end of this year, you have to have, as an organization, a clear determination that, yeah, this is a guy that we can go with. This is a guy we can win with. You got to know that at the end of the year. And unless Hurts is injured, he's got to play every game. I mean, the idea of going to Gardner Minshew at any point and just making a quarterback change to make a quarterback change, to me, is nonsensical. If Hurts can play, he's got to play.
Yeah, so I don't see the Eagles getting to a situation where they're, say, you know, 4-10 or 3-11, and they're just playing out the string of for the rest of the season. Just because of their strength and schedule here, I don't think they're going to be near the top of the division, of course, but I think they're going to be competitive into December and early January. That said, if they fall out of contention and Jalen Hurts really struggle, then I can see an argument for Sirianni saying, well, let me show you what this offense could look like with somebody else, because I do think that they've had to make a lot of adjustments, and they will make a lot of adjustments because of Hurts. That said, as long as they're competitive, Hurts gives them the best shot to win, and I agree that this year is about accumulating information on Hurts, and unless they're out of it, they'll continue to do so.
All right, you put the Eagles at 7-10 for the season. That's what I had before the season. Ray, you might have been 8-9 or 9-8.
I said 8 coming in, yeah.
Okay, so we're all, and we all kind of think that's still where they are?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
All right. Zach, what do you think today? How do you look at the one today?
So I like the Chargers today simply because when I look at the two teams, the Chargers have the better quarterback, they have the better skilled players, and they have the two best defensive players in the game. So when I just look at it like that, I'd say the Chargers, it's hard to pick against them. That said, the way the Eagles can win this game is with their defensive line against the Chargers' offensive line, particularly the right side of the Chargers' offensive line. If the Eagles can get pressure on Herbert, that could change the game. So I would really pay attention to how the left side of the Eagles' defensive line does, because their hopes of winning, it really rests on that.
Zach, when you look at this team, the Chargers, are you as puzzled as I am with the offense they're running? I mean, Herbert is, I mean, he is a prototype, big arm, throw it down the field quarterback. He demonstrated that last year. And you watch him now, I mean, they've become like Dink and Dunk City. And I don't get it. I mean, I don't know if Herbert is hurt or if this is just the coaching staff trying to protect him because they know they can't, the offensive line can't protect him. So everything is geared towards the short pass, the dump off, to get the ball out of his hands quick. But, you know, this doesn't play to his strengths at all. I mean, he's a guy that you want to be stretching the field with him, and they're not doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and their offensive coordinator comes from the Saints, right? And so you saw the way Drew Brees played, and there's probably a little bit of that to it, and Justin Herbert's a different quarterback than Brees, of course. Some of it might be because of the offensive line. But I do agree with the way Brees can play and with some of the players they have. I mean, Mike Williams can really challenge you downfield, win those 50-50 jump balls down the field. They should stretch defenses. Now, these last two games have been bad for them. You know, the first five games or so, they were really impressive. So I'm curious to see if they've changed after these last two games.
Yeah, I think the injury to Bulaga at right tackle has really changed things. I mean, Storm Norton is just awful. I mean, he's, you know, and you pinpointed that right away, and I said that to Glenn in the first hour. The right side of their offensive line right now is it's just flat out bad, you know. And so maybe they're doing some things schematically to try and protect where the players can't protect. But it's, if the Eagles are going to win this game, they can do it coming in that side. I mean, I could see Josh Sweat having a really good game today.
Exactly. And, you know, there's been so much discussion this week about the run-pass ratio, and this is a game for the Eagles where you're going against the worst run defense in the NFL. They can probably get some big plays on the ground, but the difference in the game is still going to be if the Eagles can get pressure on Herbert, because if Herbert gets time with the way the Eagles play zone coverage, he can pick apart that defense. So they need to get to Herbert, and they need to get to him often.
Good stuff. Zach Berman, always a pleasure. Follow him on Twitter at ZBerm. Enjoy, man. I guess I'll see you in a few hours.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, see
Take
you then.
Care, Zach.
There you go. Hey, by the way, just apropos of something we were talking about in the last hour.
Yes.
We were talking about that Bo Burnham, who did that series, the special I watched.
Yes, that you liked very much.
Yeah. Mike Mulhern, who is
the producer at NBC Sports Philly.
Right. Just told Michael Barkan, who just sent me a text, that Bo Burnham is playing Larry Bird in an HBO series about the 80s Lakers.
No kidding.
So we discussed Larry Bird today. All, Ray, it all circles around. It's all related.
Does he look like a basketball player?
He's tall. I mean, I don't think he's 6'6 tall, but he's kind of tall and lanky.
Well, Larry Bird was certainly no matinee idol. What's this guy look like?
He's a better looking guy than Larry Bird. Denny in Whitehall joins us. You're on with Ray and Glenn. What's up, Den?
Good morning, guys. A couple clarifications here. I got to go with Bridesmaid, that scene in the street when she's waving the cars by her.
Not saying a word.
Yeah. It doesn't get any better. There's nothing in the other movie that Ray likes.
Right. The food poisoning scene, Ray, is tremendous.
Absolutely good. And one more clarity is I live in the area where Chuck Picknarik lived and was in his presence more than once, and he was not pointing at a fumble on the ground. He stood there, and I heard him say it as he called me. He said, "USOB," and he didn't use those letters, but just for some clarification.
Well, I've heard Chuck tell the story countless times. Trust me, I've heard countless times, and he always insists that he was just reacting to the fumble recovery and saying,
"Well, here's
this,
what
this,
I heard
this,
we
this game
a,
is over."
A, we were in a club in the city of Bethlehem, his hometown, and may have been one of the best groups of sports people I had together pleasure listening to, and it was Dick Vermeil, Chuck, and also Tom Brookshire. And the first thing they said to us, a group of about 40 guys, was, anybody here from the press? And no one raised their hand, so they cut loose on everything, and that was one of the things he cut loose on. So
interesting. We only have a second. You had something about the Eagles draft?
Well, you know what? We're talking about Fletcher Cox, and they got to get strong in the linebacker spot. This dying from this soft defense we play and having the linebackers making tackles or not making tackles really hurts them. And Fletcher Cox, I'm with you. Remember how he used to chase down screens or run from the opposite side and keep a long run to only 3-4 yards? He doesn't do it anymore. He stands up at the goal line, spins halfway away from a block. So I would like to see his reps come down from in the 60s, like your prior speaker said, maybe down in the 50s and 40s, and let Williams and some other guys play. Because if we're going to watch the same thing that Fortney did and Ezekiel Elliott did, we're going to have that same kind of day, and I don't want to see that.
I hear you. Give me a great sports photo.
Well, did anybody say anything about the 64 Phillies?
No.
Okay, well, his name was Johnny Callison, and he had a walk-off.
Yeah,
7-4, bottom of the ninth, and there's a picture of him at home plate. And I have it in my little sports room. 8 future Hall of Famers greeting him at the plate: Willie Mays, Roberto.
That's the All-Star
game. Juan Marichal,
right, yeah.
Casey Stengel, Ron Santo, and the story goes that Billy Williams lent him his bat because it was a little lighter bat.
It sounds we got to run. It sounds like a great photo, but I can't say I've ever seen that photo.
Oh yeah, it's
you've
it's
seen it.
Famous. Yeah, it's from the All Star game.
Well, I've heard that Callison hits the walk off
in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, but I'm familiar with the episode, but I'm not familiar with the photo.
Yeah, I guess if you're outside Philly, you might not have seen it, but people you see it around the city a lot. It's him crossing home plate after hitting the home run. And what's notable about it is all the guys who are greeting him are among the great players of all time.
Yeah.
They're waiting to celebrate the walk-off home run.
That's cool.
One of the other moments that just convinced all of us that 64 was the year.
Thus, eventually leading to Ray going on double secret academic probation at Temple University.
Yes, yes.
And getting a big dressing down from Big Ray. Wait, Big Ray was your grandfather. Your dad was Young Ray? Wait, what was the order?
The order was, my grandfather was Big Ray.
Right, your father was?
My father was Little Ray, even
little
though he was 6'4".
I was going to say, how's he Little Ray?
He was Little Ray, and then when I came
You're
along,
Young Ray.
I became Young Ray.
Okay. Yeah.
None of it made any sense.
But anyway, it led to a dressing down from Little Ray and you almost flunking out of Temple University.
That would be correct. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, you originally brought it up.
Well, no, you originally brought it up. I just confirmed it.
Oh.
And you brought it up a second time.
Well, we still got time to go. Could come up. Could make it a third. Hey, coming up in the next segment, how about you and I look at some of the more exciting games going on today?
Oh, I'm all for that.
Got a little NFL films, rollicking music in the background. We'll discuss who's going to win, who's going to lose. And we will take your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
94 WIP, we are at Lincoln Financial Field. Eagles versus the Los Angeles Chargers kicks off in a little over 3.5 hours. Maryland Mike will be here on the call today. We will get our predictions, Ray's prediction. I don't know what you predicted this week because I didn't hear you on with Angelo when you make the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it. You and I may be going, just from what I infer, you and I may be going different ways today.
Sounds like it.
We shall see. We shall see. Meanwhile, there are some other games today, Ray, that I want to talk about. Let's hit it, Maestro. Yeah. Here you go, Ray. A game that was going to be the most compelling game of the week, and now maybe for different reasons, is a 4:25 kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium, where the slumping Chiefs, the disappointing Chiefs, are going to be taking on the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers. Chiefs have now moved to a 7.5-point favorite. I guess Aaron Rodgers means a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, about a touchdown.
what do you see?
The Chiefs' defense is really, really, really a problem. I mean, they're 29th overall in defense, and they weren't great defensively last year, but they're worse this year. And it's become a real problem. They just can't, as good as their offense is, they just can't keep outscoring people. And it's putting a tremendous amount of pressure on the offense. And as good as Mahomes is, you know, he's now trying to force everything because he's thinking he's got to score 40 to win the game. And as a result, he's forcing things and he's thrown 10 interceptions and their offense is struggling. I mean, it looks to me like Travis Kelce is not making the big plays that he made last year. I don't know if maybe he's slowing down a little bit or maybe he's playing with an injury. So they've become a team that really is Tyreek Hill dependent. Mm-hmm. And teams are ganging up on him and getting pressure on the quarterback, and they're making it really, really tough on the Chiefs. I mean, they have too much talent to just completely go away. But right now, you know, you look at the Chiefs and you don't see a team that looks like a Super Bowl team, right?
Sure don't. On either side. But what are we going to see out of Jordan Love? Are they going to be able to, the Packers going to be able to get the game going? They got a good running game. Davante Adams, I don't know what he's going to do, throw it to the tight end. Can they win with Jordan Love?
Yeah, because the line is good, and they've run the ball well this year. I mean, they're not a team that's completely reliant on the pass. And so... You know, I don't think this is going to be the route that a lot of people think that it's going to be.
Okay.
I think that the Packers have a more solid team than people realize. They're a different team without Rodgers, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the upset. I'm going to pick the Packers. Here we go. Big game, Santa Clara, California, Ray, where the San Francisco 49ers take on the Arizona Cardinals, who looked like they were ready to romp to 17-0, but have hit some bumps.
Yeah, they have, and largely it's Kyler Murray has an ankle injury that's been slowing him down, and that's when he's slowed down, the whole offense slows down, really. And I don't know quite what to make of the 49ers. I mean, I thought they were going to be a better team this year. They came into the year with questions at the quarterback position. How much were they going to commit to the rookie quarterback? How much were they going to commit to Trey Lance? Were they going to stick with the veteran Jimmy Garoppolo? It looked like they still really haven't figured that part of it out yet. I mean, they routed the Bears last week, but I thought that was a bit of a mirage. I don't really like the San Francisco team nearly as much as I did at the start of the season. And the Cardinals, to me, I mean, I think they're still a pretty good team. They don't have J.J. Watt, and Murray's a little bit subpar, but they have a lot of other really good players. So I'm not fully buying back into the 49ers. I like the Cardinals.
I like the Cardinals as well. Paul Brown Stadium, 1 o'clock kickoff. Cleveland, it's a good rivalry. Cleveland against Cincinnati. And, boy, things just keep getting worse in Cleveland. Odell Beckham gets pushed aside this weekend. They got a lot of injury issues. Bengals are a 2.5-point favorite. What do you see?
Yeah, the Browns have a lot of problems. A lot of it revolves, and it has come to a head with the Odell Beckham Jr. situation this week where they're finally going to release him. But there's a lot of problems with Baker Mayfield and the whole offense, really. And Kevin Stefanski, who was NFL Coach of the Year last year and did a great job of orchestrating that offense, is really having problems on that side of the ball. And the Bengals are a good team. You know, the Bengals, they got upset by the Jets, which was surprising, certainly. But they're a good team, and they have really good quarterback play. I mean, you've got two Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks going head-to-head here, Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow. But right now, Joe Burrow is playing a lot better football than Baker Mayfield is, and he's also supported by a better team. So Bengals playing at home, I like the Bengals.
Somebody asked me a question this week, actually my wife, that I can't answer. Because whenever we turn on TV, all of the commercials that involve NFL players are either Aaron Rodgers,
right,
and we'll see how that goes, or Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
My wife said to me, she doesn't really follow football, said, is Baker Mayfield one of the great quarterbacks? And I said, no. She said, well, why does he get all the commercials?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll ask Ray.
I guess he has a good agent. I guess he has okay. a good agent that, you know, he's a nice-looking guy with an engaging personality.
Yeah. Doesn't make him unique among quarterbacks.
You know, won the Heisman. You know, yeah. He came in with a high profile, and he's got a little bit of an edge to him. So I think he's been way oversold. I really think that the whole Browns team was way overhyped this year.
Yeah.
I mean, the expectations for this team was that a lot of people thought they were going to be a Super Bowl team, and I just didn't think they were that solid. And that was before all the Odell Beckham.
They've had a lot of mess.
And they've had a lot of stuff go wrong internally.
A lot of injuries.
Yeah, and a lot of injuries.
All right, one more game. Let's take a look at the night game tonight. Again, another game that looked to be better about a week ago. The Rams, the L.A. Rams, host the Tennessee Titans. It's Adrian Peterson versus Von Miller, Ray.
Yeah, well, the Rams... Listen, their general manager, Les Snead, is not fooling around. I mean, you talk about a guy who's pushing all of his chips into the middle of the table. He is. They're looking around the NFC this year, and they're thinking, you know what? It might be wide open for us to go in and steal this thing this year. He made the very bold move in the offseason to go get Matthew Stafford. That has paid off handsomely. Matthew Stafford's having a terrific year. I mean, right now you could argue he might be the MVP of the league to this point in the season. And I'm glad... I've said this to you before. I'm glad to see it. I've always liked Matt Stafford. I liked him from when he was in college. I felt bad that he got stuck in an awful situation in Detroit. And now he's finally gotten an opportunity to play with a really good team, and he's showing what he can do. And adding Von Miller to that defense where you've got Aaron Donald on the line and you got Jalen Ramsey in the secondary and you put Von Miller in between them, that's a formidable team right now. And, you know, the Titans – you know, I don't know how they're going to make up for the loss of Derrick Henry because he really kind of was that whole team. A lot of it's going to fall on Tannehill's shoulders, but in this game, I mean, the Rams are a touchdown favorite, and I think they're worth every bit of that.
Titans beat the Bills, crushed the Chiefs, and swept the Colts all in the last month. it's a letdown game. Well, letdown game, it's a loss. This is the loss. I agree with you. Yeah. There you go. That's some of our games for today. It's always fun. Let's get Bob in Buckingham. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Bob, you got confidence today, do you?
I do. I think the Eagles are going to win. I feel good about it. And my pitcher is Babe Ruth when he was at the end of his ropes there leaning on the bat. I don't know if you guys ever saw that picture.
He was still in uniform, right? He was still playing.
Yeah. And it was just.
I think it was his farewell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked
like. You see
like
a line of guys around.
Up, you know?
Yeah, I know the picture, and it is a great one. You've got the line of players, I think, are paying tribute to him.
Yeah.
And he's standing there you see him from behind.
Right.
A little bit slumped, leaning on the bat.
Yeah, I think when I think in terms of that era and that general idea, the picture I remember better is Lou Gehrig. Is Lou Gehrig Day when it's the same thing. He's standing at the microphone and all of his teammates are lined up and he's basically saying goodbye. The Ruth picture is a very good one,
I
think the Gehrig picture is even more iconic.
Okay. All right. Mike in Mullica Hill is with us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Heading down to the Eagles, just getting ready to leave. But I was curious, you know, obviously with the three running backs, and this isn't Detroit they're going to try to run about, do you think Sirianni really can – Gainwell is so fast, and if they have a dual running back with Gainwell in, and it doesn't matter, Howard or Boston Scott, just – use their speed and actually spread them out and eventually make it easier for Hurts to throw a short pass, even if it's to another running back.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's just what you're describing is just running a complete offense and using your running backs as receivers. And you can certainly do that with Gainwell and less so with Howard. Howard's really not much of a receiver, but you can do it with Gainwell for sure, and you can do it with Scott. And that's what the Eagles should do in this game is they should use all of those backs in rotation and keep the Chargers defense off balance. You know, that's one of the things that really bothered me about the Eagles a few weeks ago was when the offense was just so predictable. There was no pre-snap motion. There was no attempt to disguise. The personnel was pretty much locked in from down to down. It made it very easy for a defense to play them. And then they put, you know, Hurts in the shotgun, just snap them the ball and then try to create on the fly. And it just wasn't working. You know, you've got pretty talented players here in the backfield and at the skill positions. And you got to find ways to get the ball in their hands and use them all over the course of the game, especially when you're playing with a defense that's got some of the issues that the Chargers do.
Right, and if they play quick, they got Goddard, obviously Devontae Smith, and I just feel if they use their speed, throw Quez Watkins in there here and there, if they come out fast, basically, you know, somehow get a good lead, and then they can maybe use Howard or whatever, but hopefully that's it. And I don't know if anyone said this because I was working earlier and joined in. My picture is Muhammad Ali when he beat Sonny Liston.
Yeah, we did get that one.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones suggested.
Oh, sorry. How about Michael Jordan then, when he does the dunk from the foul line?
I know. It's funny because we were talking about that, and I think that's a good one. Ray, was it you or was it our producer who said that he was not familiar with a great Jordan picture?
I think all the young people know that
Dave,
one.
Dave, was that you?
I was looking for
one. Yeah, he was looking for one. I think that's a great one, and I know that one. I think that's a good one.
The one. And he's heading for the basket, and his tongue's out, and he's getting ready to jam it. Yeah, once again, that's another SI cover.
Uh-huh. 215, by the way, our special guest today in the pregame show is former Eagle center Jamal Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember when Jamal Jackson was on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
No.
It was actually a great cover. It was, I'm trying to remember the name of the story. It was Jamal Jackson and Hank Fraley banging up against each other because they were competing for the job at the time.
Right.
And Peter King wrote a story on training camp position battles, and that was one of them. And Jamal Jackson got on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Really good cover, too.
Yeah. Centers don't often make the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right, and you got two of them. little bit of glamour for those big boys.
Unless it's by accident, or they're actually taking a picture of the quarterback and the center just happens to be in it.
Right, or a guy making a sack where the center's getting rolled over.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one you don't want.
215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now coming up. Going to make our predictions for this game. Ray and Glenn from Lincoln Financial Field on 94 WIP.
All right, so Ray, when you and I arrived here today, we noted how frustrating it is to come to Eagles games and park.
Yeah.
And we got here 6.5 hours before kickoff.
Yeah, we were here before 9 a.m.
And I just want to say this. I just posted a tweet about it at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say, I mean, I guess I'm bitching from a personal level, but I really think I'm speaking for all of those people who come down. The frustration that everybody feels. Maybe it's different at some of the private lots,
mm-hmm.
but we park over at the Wells Fargo Center, and I believe the Wells Fargo Center runs it. And there are thousands of people trying to get into these lots, and the slow rate that they let them in is just insane. It's the most inefficient thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I posted about it, I just want to tell you that I got like 200 responses, all of whom agree.
Oh, okay.
Some people say they don't even come down to games anymore because it's so frustrating to park.
Yeah.
No, you can take public transportation, depending on where you're coming from.
Right.
Right. You can't take public transportation from the hinterlands.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get on the Broad Street line, that's great. But if this is an issue, and I know it's like nobody cares, who cares about parking, but if you're trying to the game and you, oh, I couldn't get coffee. If you're trying to come to the game and you can't park, it's a real factor. It's an issue.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if I wasn't working here and I didn't have, a press credential to park, I would take public transit. I would absolutely take public transit. I would take the subway down here. It's just a much easier in and out. I would definitely take public transit. If I was just a fan. Yeah. And I had, it's like season tickets, and I was coming down here. I would never drive down.
Oh, it's awful.
I would always take public transit.
Because
the public transit's actually pretty efficient.
I know.
It gets you right down to Broad and Patterson, and you just walk it.
I know. Anyway, you and I will discuss this issue more as we move ahead. Lou in Mount Laurel is with us, and he's an optimist, Ray. Always love an optimist.
I am an optimist about, also, first, before I discuss anything, the fact that who was it? Bobby Orr was mentioned in the same breath as Ben Simmons. That's like referencing Frank Stallone with Frank Sinatra. you need to scrub that from the archives, please.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
Glenn, can I?
You're probably being a little unfair to Frank Stallone. Frank Stallone's closer to Sinatra than Ben Simmons is to Bobby Orr.
That's a valid point. Can I offer a suggestion or ask for someone to tell us your story?
Sure.
Glenn, can you please get the equipment manager from the Danbury Trashers who was in that documentary?
Wasn't that a great, great documentary?
Glenn, I've watched it 5 times. It is the most, and I try to explain it to people. They look at me like I have 5 heads, but no. Trust me, watch it.
Yes.
It's beyond entertaining on so many levels.
Yes. Now, Angelo is the one who was hyping it up. I don't know how it got to him. And then he and Jonesy were talking about it.
Oh, Jonesy must have loved it.
Jonesy. And so our producer, Dave Breitmeyer, watched it, right? Again, not a huge hockey guy. Dave, how was it?
Great.
It was great.
There you go.
There's Dave's radio appearance. It was great.
It was so good. And let's hope Kerb turns this season. Because I got to tell you, Glenn, off to a sluggish start this year, I think.
Yeah. But we've felt that way before. It rallies.
I know.
It'll be good.
But before I get my picture, I'm optimistic today. I think this is where they turn the corner. I think the fact, too, you keep looking at the rest of the division and the rest of the NFC where most teams are trending down. I'm going to be positive. I think this is where they turn the season around. I really do.
Well, this is the day to do it. If you beat the Chargers, you beat a quality team. And as we've noted, the schedule gets easier. You play Denver next week. Now, I know you got to go out there, but that's not a good team. You play the Saints. You play all these teams. Saints are okay also. Play all these teams in your division. Washington, the Giants, not good. Jets, not good.
I was going to say 5 out of your how many last games are in division. You can make up a lot of ground there, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm not planning on that. I just want to see him play well.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I don't sport. I'm not thinking in terms of trying to make the playoffs or where you stand in relation to the playoffs. Just get better. Just get better from week to week. I mean, this year is what it is. It's a rebuilding year. It's a discovery year. It's trying to figure out what the coach and the quarterback are. And just try and make progress from week to week. And, you know, down the road, if they're still in the running for the playoffs in week 15, 16, fine. We can talk about it then. But right now, I think your basic point is this is a really significant game to tell you where this team is on the progress scale. You know, this is a good opponent, not an unbeatable opponent, not a mighty opponent, but a good opponent, and who are not playing particularly well. So if you can pull this game out, you know, that's a really good sign.
Lou, you have an iconic photo?
My iconic photo is going to be more or less for Philadelphia. Brad Lidge on the knees, fists raised up in the air, Carlos Ruiz running towards him.
Great one.
I like that.
Great one.
I like that a lot. That's good. Nice suggestion. You and I were talking off the air.
About how somebody's got to suggest that, don't they?
Yeah, pretty good.
That is a good one.
We're going to have to choose a winner here coming up. So you, Mosh, and Dave are the voting panel.
Uh-huh.
I recuse myself.
Okay.
All right. We'll review those in just a moment or two. But first, we're going to talk to Brian in Brunswick. What's up, Brian?
Gentlemen, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about the draft this year, but just mention that if there's ever been a case against drunk driving, if you watch that Ruggs film, TMZ Sports, right after the accident, it is heartbreaking to watch that.
It's horrible. I agree.
It is just terrible. But anyway, and let her rest in peace, the victim. That's all I can say about that. But the only thing I'll say about the draft is that they've got three picks, obviously, in the first round. I was hoping they could use them on the defensive side of the ball, maybe the offensive line. But as much as I'd love to see Hurts succeed, I'm just not there yet. And if they have to go quarterback, they could probably get one, maybe a seventh pick or a tenth pick, that second pick they have in the first round. And the kid I like, and I saw him play in high school, is Pickett from Pittsburgh. He had another great game yesterday, and I think that's a kid that they might have to take. But I really, really wish they didn't have to go quarterback. But again, Hurts, I'd love to see him succeed, but I'm just not there yet. I guess we'll know at the end of the year.
Yeah, probably right. I think Pickett's probably – he'll probably be a first-round pick, late first round. I don't think he'll go top 10. If you're the Eagles and you really like him, I don't think you have to use one of the top. You might be able to get him with your third pick in the first round because there are some questions about him. But you're right, he's having a fine year. And if you like a pocket passer, he's probably the most pure pocket passer of all these guys coming out this year. The other guys are more sort of move around, create plays, more out of the modern mold of quarterbacks. But if you like the straight drop back passer, Pickett fits the bill.
Looks like there are about a half a dozen teams that are going to be looking for a new quarterback next year. Eagles are maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah.
Is there the quarterback that everybody is going to want to trade up to the top of the draft to get? Does that guy exist?
No.
Okay.
Not that I have seen.
Okay.
To this point, not that I have seen.
Bill.
Corral. Remember we talked yesterday about Corral, the Ole Miss Liberty game?
Yeah.
Corral had a real good game yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So I think he helped his stock.
Okay. Let's go to Bill in Harleysville. You're on with Ray.
Yeah, hi, guys. I have a question about the Eagles quarterback situation, and I do also have an iconic sports photo. Mm-hmm. I know it's a little late to the party ask this, but why did the Eagles trade Flacco? Did they feel – and I know, Glenn, you're the wrong person to ask because you never liked him. I'll ask, direct this at Ray.
Sure.
Was it because they thought Minshew was a better backup, or did it have more to do with the considerations in the deal with the Jets?
They felt like they'd trade him for a draft pick. I didn't think they were probably going to keep him beyond this year.
Right.
They thought that Minshew would be an adequate backup, which is probably all the Flacco would have been anyway.
Right.
And so they turn him, into a draft pick for next year. That's it.
That was
pretty simple.
All right. My iconic sports photo is so iconic, it has a title. And the title is, and as soon as I say this, and by the way, Glenn, by recusing yourself and letting the young guys judge it, you're disadvantaging us older guys who are picking older photos.
What do you got?
Okay. It's called The Catch.
Oh, okay.
Now, everybody, do you know what that is?
Of course. Everybody knows what that is.
Well, there you go. How more iconic can you get than a photo that's known by its title and everybody knows it?
Well, I think the play is known by the title and the photograph is the photograph of the play. But, yeah, I get it. It's a great photograph.
Yep.
Okay.
Dwight Clark.
All right. So here we go.
Remember the defender?
It was the Cowboys, Everson Walls?
Very good. It was Everson Walls.
There you go.
Better known as Cubby.
Not by me.
Mm.
All right, so here we go. Most, you paying attention? He is not. Oh, there he is. All right, so here's our choices, okay? Ollie Foreman, Ollie Liston, Y.A. Tittle with the bloody forehead, Nick Foles in the end zone with the Philly special, Secretariat ahead by, what, 30 lengths?
Yeah, 32 lengths.
Bobby Orr flying through the air, Babe leaning on the bat, Brad Lidge on his knees with Chico Ruiz. With Carlos Ruiz running out. Sorry, Ray.
Please. Not Chico Ruiz.
I did it one more time, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did.
Chooch Ruiz running to the mound and the catch. I'm going to let Dave Breitmeyer vote first. Dave, what do you got?
I'll go Ollie Liston.
All right. Ray?
Ollie Liston.
Oh, all right. Well, Mosh, your vote is...
It was the first thing that came to mind when you brought up the topic. It's Ollie Liston.
Ollie Liston is the winner. Congratulations to John in Maniuk. You are the winner of the $50 gift card to Scheib Sports. All right, Ray.
You'll have to get word up to Neil Leifer. He won the contest.
There you go. I'm handing you a piece of paper, Ray, with the exact final score of today's Eagles-Chargers game. What do you got?
The Chargers are a good team, but they're not playing well right now. Now, having said that, wait till you see. Today they'll come out and everything will click, but right now they're not. They have definitely weaknesses on off defense. We talked about that. You can run the ball on them. Their secondary's got some holes. They got two really good safeties, but the corners are just average. Linebackers, not so much. And the offense looks to me to be out of sync. I really like Justin Herbert, but he's not playing really good football right now. Receivers are dropping passes, and the right side of the offensive line has got a lot of holes. So I think this is a game. Look, I know the Eagles have not won two in a row this year. They have not won at home yet this year. But I think this is a day they're going to do both. I'm taking the Eagles. I'm going to say 28-21.
Eagles 28-21. Ray Dinger, a town goes crazy with that prediction.
Hmm.
Do you understand what that means for us over the next few days?
A lot of happy folks.
Playoff. All right, here's what I got, Ray.
I have a feeling that you're going to be Mr. Buzzkill here.
Might be. I should have gone first.
And you have the Chargers, 27-24.
Yeah, I just think the Chargers have too many offensive weapons for what the Eagles' defense has been bringing. I hope that Jonathan Gannon is aggressive and aims to put pressure on Herbert, particularly with how bad the right side of their line is. But I don't know that he will succeed. I think the Eagles are going to score some points. I think the Chargers are going to score a little bit more. I go L.A. Still go with the San Diego. All right.
Well, what Gannon can't afford to do is he can't play the safety soft. He can't play the DB soft. He's got to jam the receivers. He's got to stay close to them and make Herbert hold the ball.
All right. I know you are off to do your TV duties, Ray. I got another 3 hours here.
Okay.
I see Dave Spadaro in the house as we move toward countdown to kickoff with Dave and Ross Tucker. Dave getting a big ovation. How about that? Nice to see you. Dave, I didn't know that your mom was here. Dave Breitmeyer, Moshe Kravitz produced. Don't go anywhere. We got three more hours before Eagles against Eagles Chargers here at Lincoln Financial Field. Merrill and Mike on the call. Ray, enjoy your day.
All right. Talk to
everybody.
You later.
We'll talk to you in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.